So I'll call the meeting to order. So when we go through the approved agenda, if we could please add executive session. I'd like to add it after public comment, that way if there's any public comment, no one has to stick around till after we're done with the executive session. And I think that...
So I make a motion to approve the agenda with the executive session added.
I'll second that.
All in favor of this agenda with the executive session added, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay. So, Chetty?
Approve the voucher?
Yes, that's where I'm going to next. If we could have a motion to approve the vouchers.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor to approve the vouchers, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. We have all seen the minutes from the last meeting. I did not have anything to add, or are there any additions or corrections from any one of those minutes?
No, I do want to commend Teresa, though, on doing such a thorough job of taking the minutes.
Well, thank you.
I agree. So, seeing there are no additions or corrections to the minutes, can I have a motion to approve the general meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Can we look at the special meeting minutes? Including the work session. Right after that. Right after. I think that next page. Oh, no.
In the packet?
Oh.
A lot in there?
I don't see them. But I reviewed them.
I think I emailed that separately.
Yes.
Oh, you could have.
Mm-hmm. Here it is.
Yeah, but I do have a copy in this if you need to see them.
Email it.
Make a motion to approve the special meeting.
A second.
All in favor of approving the special meeting minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay, treasurer's report.
On review of the budgetary figures for the month of February, the ambulance revenue is on budget. Expenses are on budget. And review of interest income showed a need for some revision of what the current CDs are earning. We have three CDs at the First Northern Bank totaling $500,000 that are currently earning about 0.6%, and so that could be changed to a rate of 4%. And these three CDs mature in May, June, and July, respectively. If we were to change those, there would be a combined penalty of about $775. However, the new CD would be earning about $1,667 per month, so it would be worth doing without waiting for them to mature. We're also going to address a CD purchase with some funds from Bank of Buffalo that is beginning to exceed the pledge value combined at that institution. So we'll address another CD discussion later in the meeting.
Is that penalty of $700 for each CD?
No, that's the total.
Okay.
For all three combined. So we more than make up for that in the first month.
Mm-hmm. So within this, I think we probably could make a motion to either move forward with changing the CDs to the 4%.
Is that keeping it with First Northern, or where would that go?
It would be at that institution.
Okay.
Simply be upgrading those CDs into one with a 12-month maturity.
One 12-month?
At 4%.
Okay.
It's a big increase.
Yeah, I move that we do cash flows in and reinvest them at the higher percentage rate at First Northern, those three CDs.
I'll second it.
All in favor of moving the three CDs and to the 4% interest rate, including the penalty, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay. So can you do that, or does more than one person have to go and sign and do this?
I need the copy of our meeting minutes
that says,
said I became the treasurer, and then they'll change my name on the signature card.
Yeah. Perfect. Any additions to your treasurer's report? Or
do we need to make a motion to purchase another CD to lower that balance at the Bank of Buffalo at this time?
Well, I think that comes under old business.
Okay.
The other thing, too, is Teresa had mentioned that we do need to transfer money. So that savings is going to be going down, right?
Yes, but it'll still be at the same bank. So
okay.
The pledge
will stay the same.
The pledge
okay.
is still an issue.
Okay.
And if I remember right, well, they were going to send another pledge letter, but they said as high as they could go was 1.4.
Oh.
And we're right at 1.3 something. So
7.7.
Yeah. So we're pretty close to 1.4. So, but if we, yeah. They should send another letter. That's what my understanding was.
Yeah, I haven't seen one.
Okay.
I assume one of the board members will have to call on the pledge and ask. I don't think I have the ability to do that. But.
So if they send us a pledge letter of 1.4, are we good for a while? Or okay.
But I think still worth discussing here with old business, right? Of
right.
Maybe moving, right?
Yeah.
So, okay.
So,
because would it be, since we're having to cash out these CDs anyway, would it be privy of us to take money while we're cashing it out and add it to it? Add it to the CDs?
That's an option.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically four local banks, and we're doing business with two mainly. And so my thought was that we would transfer some from Bank of Buffalo to one of the two banks that we're not currently invested with. And we can talk about those two banks and what their current CD rates are for 12 months, and then make that call. Then we're kind of evenly distributed
sure.
among three institutions.
You could also get bids from each one of those.
Well, that's essentially what I did was get an updated quote.
So
we're trying really hard to go into that
Right.
Old business item, which is fine.
Come on, stop it.
Oh, do it later. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. You're right. Okay, sorry. Okay.
Get a taste of it.
Any just general things with the treasurer's report then?
I'll just make a motion. Sorry. We approve the treasurer's report. It was a good one.
I second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same side. Okay. Buffalo director's report.
We had 52 calls in February. But for February, it's a pretty busy month. February is typically our lowest call month for the winter and not many people around.
No, you're good. Sorry, go ahead. Yes, sorry.
We had a total of 10 transfers, 4 to Billings, 1 to Casper, 2 to Sheridan, and 3 to the airport. One of those transfers was a transfer that we did for the ambulance in Sheridan. They have the contract with the VA, but they weren't able to make it, and the VA called and said, could you do this for us, and we did. We had only one nurse transfer and one out-of-county transfer. 32 were in town, 20 were out of town, and so 48 were residents, 4 were non-residents. We had one canceled call and 11 patient refusals. I'm going to come back to that patient refusal issue here. But we had one standby, one code. 25 were Medicare. 2 were Medicaid. 8 were insurance. 2 were self-pay. And you know, it seems that we have a lot of patient refusals, and most of those are lift assists. And we have some regulars that we go to on a, you know, pretty seldom rate. And we did have one that used us over 100 times one year. And so every time we send the ambulance out, it costs us money. And we're thinking that with the board approval, we'd like to set a rate for lift assist, repeat lift assist, perhaps. Do the first one, maybe there's only one, but I don't know if you can charge some and not the other, but we could have a protocol where we didn't charge for the first lift assist, but we have, you know, some we go to every week. He slipped out of his chair, you know, he's on the in the toilet and can't get up, whatever the case may be, but we do go pretty regularly.
And right now, if it's just a lift assist, there's no money, nothing.
Yeah, but I still have to pay 2 EFTs, and one of the guys takes 3 EFTs to lift. And
okay.
So we're paying, you know, 3 people to go out and do that. And that comes directly out of our payroll budget, and our payroll budget's in dire straits right now because of the out-of-county transfers that we did so many of. So, and I don't know, you know, certainly lift assist wouldn't, we don't need to make money. I just don't want to, you know, have it cost WMS money either.
What is the likelihood that, I'm assuming a lot of these lift assists are Medicare patients, will they reimburse? No. So,
you have to transport.
So, technically, we wouldn't get the money anyway, though, right? Am I understanding that?
You're allowed to bill the patient for those if you have that in your policy.
So it might just, if we start billing them, discourage them from using it consistently.
Yeah, but, and that's the other thing. We're more Mayberry than we are Chicago. And if people need help, we want help.
Yeah.
And you got some 80-pound wife trying to lift a 300-pound husband. What's she going to do? She needs help.
Yeah.
And if they come to us and say, we can help you, maybe we, I don't know, make some kind of a fund, put in some, you know, take RCD money and put it in a fund and use it out of there if they can't pay, something like that. I mean, these people need help. They're not calling just, you know, for us to take out the garbage, you know. They really need help.
What do other ambulance services do?
I have no clue.
Okay.
I'm guessing they probably charge, don't you think? Or, but I don't know. We can find out. I mean, because I'm just guessing.
I'm assuming this isn't the, like, an isolated
thing. Oh, heavens no.
Thing. I'm assuming this happens. But if you can't bill Medicare for it, then my concern is, well, they pay for it anyway. But then what are other people, what do other ambulance services do when they want to do a lift assist? Crosby, do you know the answer to that by chance?
I know Campbell County Health, Wyoming Regional EMS, they do not charge for lift assist. If they are a repeat person, they start working with public health or somebody else for home health care because obviously they can't take care of themselves.
Well, and I think there should be a difference between an 80-pound wife and a big guy that she has to lift and us go into a facility where they have employees that, but they're probably, they're a no lift facility. Well, if that's not my fault, and that's not the ambulance's fault. If they're a no lift facility, we should charge them a regular ambulance call, and that would be very discouraging to them, which would lower our numbers. And I mean, you know, the several of those places in town that just, you know, we don't lift people because it's a liability or whatever it is. So they should be charged something at a different rate.
So. Did I hear we wouldn't, you don't want to bill them? Because I think what? We shouldn't pay Buffalo EMS if we're not going to bill them.
No, bill them.
So
no,
we'd have to bill.
He wants to start a billing system.
Oh, okay. I thought Carrie said something about not billing them.
No.
Oh, okay.
You can't bill Medicare.
Oh, that's what it was. You can't bill Medicare.
Bill them individually. And
yeah.
They will or won't pay, but at least they know that it's not free.
Yeah, I think I agree. That's tough when you're constantly going out for those.
What does it cost? What is the average cost when you do a patient lift call?
We pay the A's $35 a call and B's $20 a call.
25.
So we pay 25 and 35 for the A's and B's. So if we send three people, there's a likelihood that we're going to pay, you know, just about $100.
And then some fuel.
And if we charged $100 to private people, that would, it's not going to pay our gas and wear and tear on the rig, but, you know, that's minimal, too. And if we only send two people, $100 would cover the gas. But if we have to go to the Beth Home or Pape or Willow Creek or wherever it is, and we charge them $250, then, you know, the health care would be reimbursed for that.
And the biggest problem is you don't know, because most of the time when they bring in the call, it's not just saying all the time it's a lift assist. It's a patient has fallen, and you don't exactly know what you're getting when the patient has fallen.
Most of the time they do say, there's no injuries, it's just a lift assist.
Oh,
we recognize the address most of the time. And so we got four or five there.
And what about city and sheriff? City cop and sheriff, do they come and assist? Can they help?
They help us whenever we ask them.
Okay.
That's for sure.
They used to do, they would come and you could get them to, they'd go and get the person up, but they don't do that anymore. They haven't for a number of years. So it fell to the ambulance.
That's a good reason for that too, because
liability.
Some people fall and they're not really hurt. They call for a lift assist and we get there and they've got a broken hip.
Yeah.
You know?
There's liability.
So are you doing lift assist at the V up here? Is that what I heard?
We do. We've done some lift assist at the VA.
So they don't have a policy. So
they're no lift facility.
They're really? Not as frequent as others. I don't think.
Wow, you'd think they'd. Huh.
But they are no lift.
Okay.
And then you would just. Privately send them a bill?
How we work that, Carrie? I don't know how else. You know, that would be the only way. If we're going to get reimbursed for our people, yes.
Okay. So if you write it up as a regular call and it goes to the billing company can't bill for it? Because I don't see why they couldn't.
If you develop that policy that all lift assists are so much money.
It just goes in our rate sheet. We agree what the rate's going to be. Mm-hmm. We add it to our rate sheet. We can advertise that. And then they do their run, send it in to the billing company, and the billing company bills them.
Okay.
That might be the cleanest way.
Then Buffalo EMS just vouchers you for the lift assist for that month, I guess, right?
Well, just like we do out.
Just like out of town transfers.
Yeah. I think that would be, I agree, Marilyn, that would be the cleanest and most transparent.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see us either look into that further or adopt something, you know.
I like the idea of $100 for private lift assist and then $250 for facility lift assist. If you feel like that's a fair number.
I don't think you can. I don't think mm-hmm. you can do that.
You have to bill them the same?
Because really you're treating one patient. I don't think you
okay.
can.
But that doesn't that just only apply to Medicare patients?
No, I think if the district has this in there, and we can do some more research, but...
do you want to table this and do more research on this, and then we can make a decision in April?
Whether we can charge a facility a different price versus the patient.
So
and then essentially kind of the ins and outs of how you would alert the patient, you know, to say, hey...
We'd have to do
something.
We have to at least give them one
free
pass
and
then say from here on out.
So I'd like to make a motion to continue the patient refusal rate for lift assist to the next meeting.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor of tabling this at this time and continuing the conversation at our next meeting. Say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, we'll talk about it in April. Any more with your director's report?
Well, you know, I do have reports on the ambulances. We had to return to base for another ambulance the other night. It was MS-106, and it had a problem with the airbags, and it was riding like a lumber wagon. And what happened, we're going to try to get it fixed, but and it's been a recurring problem, and Gary's fixed it a couple of times, but, you know, that's just a symptom that it's getting old. It's got 200,000 miles on it. But then we had to, of course, you know, we had... In January, we had MS-73 had to be towed out of Bighorn County by Hanser's tow back to Buffalo. And, you know, we spread a transfer case, you know, across the highway on the reservation this year, too. So it's becoming more and more evident that the ambulances, although, you know, new ambulances can break. I get that. But... we need to upgrade a rig or two, and I know that we certainly, you know, just because they don't have a lot of miles doesn't mean the parts aren't old. You know, the rubber gets brittle and that sort of thing. So I'm just bringing that up to the board's attention, and you know, there's every chance that we might have a 2-year wait to get an ambulance too. So that's just my continued plea for. More rigs, and we also have. We're gonna. Beth is gonna teach, and well, Beth's husband, who's a paramedic, is gonna teach an I class starting in September, right?
Okay.
And
good.
One of the things that we'd like to get, we'd like Rural Healthcare to buy, is a airway mannequin. This is a for ET tubes.
Correct.
And $1,200. And so we'd like to get permission to, you know, and we could certainly do it now, or we could budget it in. We have it in our capital outlay for this year if you guys wanted to let us go ahead and get it.
Have you, I want to say that we use the exact same head when we teach ACLS for the hospital.
So you think there is one?
There may be an airway.
Mm-hmm. So you think we could borrow it?
Well, yeah, it just sits till we use it for until it gets used for training.
Yeah.
I know we have airway heads that we practice OPAs and NPAs and everything on. So do you want me to?
Oh, we certainly can.
Look into that?
Yeah, we can call them. Yeah.
Okay. And then we can, because that, I mean, if we can utilize those resources, yeah. I don't know if it's the exact same one, though.
And we would like to, there's a $225 request to purchase the Laurentius Note handle and blades that would be used then. They're not just trainers, they would be used. So that's $225 to get the basic set, one basic set for that. And at this point, we want to let KC know and invite them. We're going to be doing a portion of this long distance or
virtually.
So we're not. We're working through Laramie County, and so if they have people that they want to watch virtually as well, and then come up, and Brian can help them with their. The practicals, the skills.
And when is this starting?
September.
Okay.
That's really, really nice. I'm glad you're going for that.
So do we have time? I'm assuming we can, by September, we can check to see what the hospital has in terms of allowing us to share resources, and then
yes,
we can vote on it at the next meeting so to make sure you get it in time if there isn't that option. Okay.
That's all I got.
Perfect. Thank you. Crosby.
We only ran 5 calls in the month of February. One ended up being canceled prior to arrival. It was a car wreck. It wasn't a car wreck on 387. Had 4 medicals, 1 trauma. The trauma was obviously the car wreck. So we ended up transporting a total of 3 patients out of the 5 calls.
Can you also, within our packet is the monthly financial report. Can you give a quick down and dirty of that by chance if it's in front of you?
Of what?
The monthly, Casey's monthly financial report.
You want me to do a treasurer's report also?
Yeah, if you could just kind of do a quick, if you have, I mean, anything that stands out that.
So we are at 65% of our budget, or 67% of the year. The things that are of note are vehicle repairs and maintenance, which are 130%. We just hit right. We just went over on medical supplies, but hopefully we're good for the rest of the year, so it's 102%. The other one is education and training, which was, we didn't have money budgeted for the class, so most everything else is pretty well on track for the year.
Okay.
So, Crosby, where are you with the class that was, you're supposed to have the money paid for by March 1st?
It started, so this will be week 3.
Okay. How many folks did you end up with?
We ended up initially with 11. One of them has dropped after the first class due to a family issue that, I mean, so we'll, I talked to Brad. He's issuing a check. The district will get the money back on that.
Okay.
And I have been in contact with Wyoming Workforce Development, and they actually had a special meeting about KC Ambulance for the simple fact that they aren't a private entity, and we didn't have a Secretary of State number and all that kind of stuff. And they sent it to the head honcho of all of this, and they 100% want to support this, and they're just, I'm just waiting. I had to send them more information about, one of their big things was making sure that they had, whoever went through the course had a 45-day sort of contract to say they would stay on with KC Ambulance for 45 days, and we've kind of already taken care of that. So I just had to give a lot of those ins and outs to this guy, and I'm just waiting on, I can't proceed with making a account because it stops me when I don't have a Secretary of State number. But they pretty much are said, absolutely, we want you to have this money. So the way it looks is we will get reimbursed fully for this $8,000.
What Secretary of State number is that?
It's a business filing ID.
Like a tax? Because we have our own tax ID.
No, it's different.
It's different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because we're not a private business, we don't have that, and then it stops me from making any kind of thing.
And how much is, what are the total?
$5,000 per employee.
Nice.
Now, granted, we only get reimbursed for what we use, so we'll get reimbursed $750. But Crosby's going to get me, too. There is a intermediate.
It was on the Visa bill. I had to pay by Visa, but it's $1,500 for Seth to go through the intermediate course at Campbell County. And then I'm trying to put together, like, access codes for ACLS, BLS, PEP, all those courses that cost money. If we can add those in, I'm going to put all of those costs that, together that we've spent on education, and we may be able to get reimbursed for all of that.
Oh, it's probably not going to come close to like the 5,000, but we are allotted up to 5,000 per.
Yeah,
so I'm hoping that will help with retainment as well a little bit. So,
but Crosby, you said 10 folks are still in the class that just started.
Yeah. And I don't see any issues with that. And like I said, the one that dropped, he had a family thing come up that he's basically just not going to be here because he's got to go out of state to take care of his mother.
Okay. Yeah, 10's great, though. Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then part of the director's report, I wanted to include, if I think this is the time to do it because it's Crosby as the director, he's just going to give us a quick idea of some of the handbook changes that were questionable. That before we can, because we need to move forward with getting this handbook figured out.
So the two biggest things in the handbook that stuck out to me was a definition of employees. The only thing it says is part-time, full-time, which that may be the way the district wants it. But that being the case, then Michelle and I are the only two employees. And then there's also a point in there, it says only district employees may drive vehicles, which would mean Michelle and I are the only two people in Johnson County that could drive any of the vehicles.
Which essentially means Buffalo EMS couldn't drive an ambulance.
Well, or the volunteers in KC either. If you have to be an employee and your only employees are full-time or part-time, then
no one can drive that ambulance.
Those are the two things that really stuck out of things that don't really fit our organization.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any questions for Crosby?
No.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we can talk about CD rates and Bank of Buffalo Pledge.
Okay. So at the Bank of Buffalo, currently we have $1.377 million if you combine a checking account and a money market account. And those figures are listed on the February budget at the bottom of the page, near the bottom. So in order to invest and make our balance at that institution under the pledge limit of 1.4, there's a proposal to purchase a CD with approximately $500,000 from the money market account at another institution. And there's already an investment of about $500,000 at First Northern Bank, which leaves First Interstate Bank and ANB Bank in this community. So I approached both banks with a proposal of purchasing a CD for $500,000, verified that they would pledge that amount, which is $250,000 in excess of what the FDIC would automatically cover. Mm-hmm. And both are willing to do so, and the current quote would be 3.85%, 12-month term at ANB Bank, and 3.5% at First Interstate Bank.
Also a 12-month.
Correct. And the penalty for early withdrawal is 6 months' interest. That would leave a balance of approximately $800,000 at the Bank of Buffalo money market, which I guess you could say is adequate cash flow for operations if we have decreased revenue. Probably more than adequate. It's unlikely that our mill levy will stop coming in.
We got big problems if that happens.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we take the $500,000 from the money market account at Buffalo Bank of Buffalo and take that money and put it with the American National Bank.
I guess ask a question before, and not opposed to the motion, but when looking at ambulances, and I think that's maybe worth discussing briefly, you know, when we might need some cash to plan ahead, what are we looking at? I mean, on new ambulances?
220 for ambulance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess just wanted
is that to, with the, just the chassis, changing the chassis, or is that
no,
a brand new ambulance? Because
no,
the quote I got was closer to $300,000.
No, we're not, you know, we're not in favor, really. We're not going to save that much money changing chassis, and we'll probably end up with electrical problems and that sort of thing. I don't think it's $300,000, really.
We don't have close. A bed, I think, for $250,000. But it's not the...
You've got to have your other stuff in it.
Yeah, with the other stuff. So we've proposed $250,000 to
okay.
purchase a new ambulance. The size that we want, we don't want the big 450 or F450s.
We're so that would be less than?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's probably the difference, Marilyn.
Okay.
We do have a quote.
Yeah, but it was a 450.
Yeah.
Is there grant opportunities available for ambulance purchases?
We're continuing to look at those. You know, we tried to get the one through the state of Wyoming for equipment, and we didn't qualify. So we
ineligible because why?
Because of the rules that go with that ARPA funding. I tried to push it through under the rules, and they came back and said that it didn't qualify.
So, I mean, we're looking, we're constantly looking for other options, but there
it
wasn't.
It was ineligible.
Did they, how far are they out? I guess
two
did they
years.
Give you two on that? Okay.
2 years.
From the time you order them?
Yes.
So I guess.
I don't know if they require a, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Deposit or not, but. You know, we need to at least allocate that money. We have the reserves already there, and we have a depreciation reserve. And that's what it's for. But we would just need to, you know, move it in next year's budget in order to at least advance the purchase. I don't think it would be complete for possibly 2 years. So it would just carry over until you could take possession.
And, I mean, obviously looking at the mileage for each of them, I mean, 106, almost at 220. And like you said, you can have problems with new ones, but none of them are, I mean, you know, close to being brand new, but addressing and replacing that 106 is kind of the immediate. You're not seeing big problems with the other ones right now, or, I mean, just normal stuff, yeah.
You know what's going to pop up,
right.
But, yeah, no, you're right.
Okay. Yeah, our oldest ambulance is a 2008. Newest is a... Yes.
And that's one we got.
So, Adam, what you're thinking is maybe not put a whole 500,000 in there, maybe drop it down to 2 or 3?
Yeah. The 2 years out scares me, and that's why I'd say we probably better not kick that can down the road much longer if we need one. You know, and I think it looks like we obviously do. So I'd be in.
Well, I didn't think you had a problem with doing the chassis thing.
Well, we thought it sounds good. It sounds like a great idea, but you really don't save that much money. I can't remember what the difference was.
It wasn't that significant. I did have a bid.
It was 100 and something.
Yeah, it was 100 and something. A couple different spots that we have received bids from no longer do that.
Okay.
But we have to take an ambulance
out of service
for about a month,
yeah,
before we
get
it.
But that's if everything goes good.
Yeah.
I think I'm with Adam there as far as maybe not taking the whole 500,000.
Make it
250.
Well, I mean, we've got operational funds of just under 1.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not likely we're going to need that much money that soon. In the meantime, that $500,000 is going to make you $20,000.
Yeah.
So we're sitting on too much cash.
And we could, if we needed to, if they want a deposit or something, we can cover that deposit.
Well, and you can... So you forfeit some interest. You really haven't lost anything because you're making double what you are in that money market
right now.
Exactly.
Right.
And they're only 12 months, so I guess I would just want to be mindful or maybe check to see how much we'd owe up front. But like you said, we have enough to cover that. So not so much opposed to the 500 amount. Just wanted to make sure we're thinking about that bigger expense coming down the pipe.
Well, I'll just make a motion that we take five. Did I already do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no one seconded.
Nobody seconded.
I interrupted. Sorry.
Jeez. It won't be the first time I didn't get a motion seconded.
I second that motion. Because we can cash it in if we need to.
Did you say where?
She said
American National Bank.
ANB Bank. All in favor of transferring $500,000 to American National Bank for the 3.85 for 12 months? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Dr. Shuler. Yeah. Checking on those.
Buffalo EMS contract. So that was discussed with, we did the 4 years and obviously coming to a discussion. It's down here for, I think I needed to transfer it to, because it's, do we want to talk about the budget now?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because it's technically, I mean,
well,
old business, but it's,
yeah. So, if we talk about the budget, and the last few years we've kind of gotten an idea of what the budget was before we wrote a letter to Buffalo EMS saying what we thought we could offer them. So I don't know if that's what y'all are doing now or not, because I see on the budget you've already got a dollar amount established.
Just to come up with an estimate to look at figures for the year, but that's dependent upon what is negotiated, and hence
and
the term
to,
preliminary.
Okay, so we have to, it says, and Buffalo MS is usually written a letter.
I have it.
Oh, you have a copy of last year's?
No, of this year's letter.
Oh,
yeah, so that's
yeah.
what we're prepared to do today.
Oh, okay,
yes.
All right.
But that's where I was confused, if we needed to keep it under old business. That was my fault, or...
Because there's two different... The way I took that, Brittany, is we're dealing with two different things.
Yeah.
We're dealing with... We've got the Buffalo EMS actual service agreement, contract for services agreement, but we also have this that's totally separate.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So...
Take care of the letter now.
Yeah.
I think they're different, two different things, yeah.
Do you want me to review the letter?
Yeah,
okay.
Like
so
have you read it out loud.
For the past 2 years, the amount requested has remained the same at $62,500 per month, with the rising cost of fuel and medical supplies and a necessary increase of EMTs at every level. We simply are not able to continue operating with that amount. Fuel is a line item that is not only unpredictable, but also costs are on an extreme rise. The district owns the ambulances, and we feel it is in the best interest of the district to pay for all ambulance maintenance and tires. The requested amount by Buffalo EMS does not include the maintenance line item. Medical supplies and oxygen have also increased in cost. We stock 4 ambulances in compliance with the State Office of EMS inventory requirements. We need more full-time personnel. The number of transfers we are doing has drained our payroll line items, and we are having to dip into other line items to finish out the year. This means a rise in payroll as well as payroll taxes and insurance. Our people have not had raises for several years, and we are leaning on them to work more hours. Health insurance rates are rising for those currently insured, and if we hire additional staff, the cost will increase substantially. We have scheduled multiple classes this year to include EMR, AEMT, and EMT Intermediate. We plan to utilize grant money to help pay for the education and training expenses, but the skill advancement we will need to pay the EMTs at a higher rate. But with the skill advancement. Buffalo EMS generated the Rural Healthcare District over $450,000 for out-of-county transfers last year, which should help with any shortfall. We do not anticipate making that kind of money this year, but do expect it to be a continued revenue source. Due to the increased cost associated with transfers, we request to split the profit after expenses. The amount requested this year is $839,400, with the monthly payment being $69,950. I spoke with Dave and Carrie today. It is my understanding that in the past, Buffalo EMS has submitted a number. How that number, where that money goes to, was not sort of discussed, and that number was just instead voted on, and then that monthly check was sent to them for them to do with what they needed to with their budget. I've spoke with them, and they are very much willing to be transparent in terms of letting us know exactly where that money will go this year. Because I think that it's important to be fiscally responsible for county residents, as well as everyone, to know that we're not just approving $839,400 without any idea of where that money is going. And so they are very willing to have that conversation with us to discuss expenses.
So somewhere in here.
And it is my understanding we do not have to make a decision on this today. We can have further conversations about this. Obviously, if negotiations need to occur, if we're feeling like there's some blurred areas, once we learn about the line items of this, but kind of just to get everyone's questions rolling in your head about that. number. Obviously, it's going to require then to kind of change a lot of the wording within the service agreement, because it does talk about maintenance and fees and things like that. And overall, I think I was also just sort of confused about what exactly do we pay as a district in terms of supplies, etc. What counts as a disposable, what counts as not, how we pay that, I think is a little bit blurred to me as well. And so I just think, for me, I just need a lot more conversations to occur to understand everything at a deeper level.
I agree. I'm just trying to find something in this contract where I think it's in here where it says that the contractor would agree to sit down with a couple of board members or whatever and go over there.
And they're very willing to do that. I think whether it's in the contract or not, they're willing to.
It's in the contract. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you look at the proposed budget items for the two services compared to the previous approved budget, the Buffalo increase is 12%. And that's a service that was frozen as far as revenue. This is the third year that it's been $750. So,
second.
Considering the rate of inflation, the cost of fuel, and the increased demands in terms of wages to maintain staffing, that seems to be a very appropriate amount. I'm surprised we wouldn't need to subsidize more. And when you look at this $839,000, remember that there's about $400,000 in revenue that reduces that sum, meaning there's return on that investment of not quite 50%.
Well, and you also have to remember, though, that Buffalo EMS is getting 15% of that $450,000. And they're using ambulances.
No, I'm not counting out-of-county transfers. The services, the revenue for ambulance is estimated at $400,000
a year.
Okay,
I see what you're
saying.
And
we have to pay collection fee, but
right. That's
not including transfers, which will be less next year.
Yeah.
And with those transfers, when you say due to the increased cost associated with transfers, we request to split the profit after expenses, is that out of county transfers or is that out of county? Because this just says transfers. So,
what does that mean?
So that's like the Sheridan. So instead of the 15%, you want 50%.
Well, it wouldn't be. We would work out. It might come down to be like 30-30-30.
Okay.
But the first is what the costs are for you guys. So a formula, mileage on the ambulances, wear and tear. I'm sure we can come up with a number. And then payroll and fuel on our part. Combine that, whatever the profit, take that out for both services. And then what's left, a 50-50 split. Whereas we've been taking 15% from the total. And I will tell you that with the cost of fuel, we broke even. There was no money making on that, and we wore out our crew. And so if we were to continue to that, we want to continue it for a variety of reasons. One is we want to be a good neighbor, and they call us when they need us, mm-hmm. when a patient needs us. And then the second is it is profitable. Mm-hmm.
And I think some of my questions too lie, and again, this is just me thinking out loud and trying to understand all of this a little bit more, is that we have an increase in from 750 to 839, but then you're also taking out ambulance maintenance and repair, so we have to then factor that back in.
And fuel.
Say that again.
Fuel too. Do they want to keep paying fuel? Or
yeah,
just
we're paying fuel.
Yeah, I think it was just maintenance and repair.
Because we don't own the ambulances. Mm-hmm. And
so it's kind of that, but it's
them for free. You don't lease them, you get to use them for. The rural health care district owns the ambulance.
And you take all the revenue that they generate.
We don't. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you don't
do.
You don't get to use them for free. You just get to pay to maintain somebody else's ambulance.
Yeah.
As a private service.
And they're a private service.
And
most private services get to have that like that. They buy their own ambulances.
And they keep 100% of the income.
Yes, and that was offered to you at the old when we did the last contract.
Well, rather than rewrite the whole thing, I think that's another point for negotiation.
Yeah.
But
well, I'm not saying I'm totally opposed to any of this. I'm just throwing these things out. Because I'm not prepared today to
I don't think
at
that's
all.
A, no, I don't think that's a question at all. It was just kind of going through this and asking
mm-hmm.
questions. And like I said, they're very willing to sit down with us and discuss each line item, where this money is going to go. And so saying, because again, it's just to be clear, like if we're no longer, if that money for maintenance and repairs isn't coming, like then where does that money, where is that transferred within this and how does that look? And so that's just what I just need just a better understanding of. It's not at all questioning the number. It's just understanding how the number came to be generated,
right.
Essentially.
Sure. And I think, I mean, maybe speaking about this before Dr. Schuller has a chance to explain the district-wide budget, I think some of your answers will be questioned there or answered there because we have had a discussion. And so the repairs and maintenance have just been shifted.
Okay.
And from my understanding, including KC's, so that all six ambulances that the district owns are repaired and maintained mm-hmm. by the district with one line item.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in here. But I think we need to listen to Dr. Schuller's before. And then if you have questions after that about some of those changes, then we'd be happy to.
Yeah, that's just where I need. And I think the other thing, too, that we also, as Dr. Schuller has mentioned, that $839,000 looks like a big number, but we're also not seeing, it's not reflective of the revenue that's essentially generated into
right.
that as well. It's not we lose $839,000 and we're not getting that money back again. There is some return on that I think sometimes gets lost just by looking at that number that we.
And as far as storage of the ambulances, that rental was not paid by the district to Buffalo Ambulance. It was included in the $750,000, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, in a sense, the district was getting ambulance barn rental for free.
Depends on how you want to look at it.
Right.
Two sides to that. You could also say that we've been paying $1,200 a month since July for an office and a bookkeeper that we know Buffalo EMS no longer provides, too. So,
clarify
how
that.
How do you clarify it?
Right.
How do you want me to clarify that? It's pretty obvious.
I don't follow that at all.
Well, so back in July. And it says in the contract that an office will be provided. Back in July, it was determined that Buffalo EMS would no longer provide carry. Therefore, there's no office for the Rural Health Care District. Carry did all the work for the Rural Health Care District, I might add, very well. But now Carry's not doing that. And back in July, the agreement was that after 3 months, there wouldn't be paying that $1,200 anymore, potentially. But it's just always been paid. So does that clarify where I'm coming from?
Was that rolled into the 750, or was that a...
Yeah, it's all part of the 750.
Okay, so we're basically just clarifying what that number...
So we're giving Buffalo EMS $1,200 a month for an ambulance, barns, and office space. So it's, what is that, $24,000 or something like that a year? Doesn't that add up to $24,000 a year? Just like we're giving them everything else.
Well, let's summarize what it costs to have four ambulances available in today's marketplace. And you and I both attended a meeting sponsored by the governor to address the crisis of ambulance care in rural Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
And for one EMT staffed ambulance for 1 year, the cost was $500,000.
That's what they said.
And we both saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've been able to do it for much less, but I don't believe it's our job to nickel and dime the service when we're getting four times that for a fraction of the cost of one.
I don't feel like we're nickel and diming the service, personally. And this board's job is to make sure the finances are available to run the services, both services. And I think the Rural Healthcare District has done a good job at providing finance to Buffalo EMS.
I think they've drastically underpaid the service, in my opinion. Judging from the governor's presentation and other information I read about the cost of a service.
If you're talking about a actual private business, those costs are really high. But they pay for everything out of their own business. This money from the Rural Healthcare District allows Buffalo EMS to operate. I don't know now whether, like they were saying in this letter, there may be some things that are just barely coming out on. But this money is used, to the best of my knowledge, because we've never really seen what the payroll looks like or anything like that. So we're going on our estimate based on this. And I'm not saying this is out of line. I'm just saying our job is just to make sure that we're not going to overextend our services, because is Buffalo EMS a truly private entity or not? And sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. So they don't own their own ambulances. They don't have to buy them. They don't have to buy any of the high-dollar equipment. That's all for them to use. They have, you know, this money covers, obviously it covers payroll, and now it covers maintenance and stuff, which it didn't used to. And so, but that's what that money's for.
Right. The fact that this current agreement allows this county to enjoy this much service at this bargain means we're underpaying for what we're getting, and we should be very grateful. But I don't think it should become a point of friction to negotiate things like maintenance or an office. It's still a fantastic bargain.
Well, if the taxpayers think it's okay to pay for an office that you're not having anymore, then... So that's fine.
We're not paying for an office. We're paying for salaries.
Okay. All right.
And we're paying for the management of a service. Mm-hmm. That's what we're paying for.
Okay. I think I also, like, I understand what you're saying in terms of the private entity thing, where the lines get blurred. But if they weren't, if we treated them as a private entity, we would have no revenue generated back to us. They would keep everything that they made.
And that offer was made in the last contract negotiations, and Buffalo EMS did not want to do that.
But I think that's where maybe that sort of...
It is true.
...line.
Sure as the hell is, Dave.
I think it's irrelevant today.
I
don't think we have to keep going back to the old contract.
No. And I think that overall, what we're saying is that after this and this talk, what I think is the most important of all of this is Buffalo EMS is willing to say, let's have an executive meeting or an open meeting, and they will tell us exactly where this money is going. And I think that with that transparency,
I think that'd be great.
I think we can move forward with this.
Yep.
And they're very willing to be transparent with us, which I think is important for all of us just to have a better understanding and then continue that respectful rapport and collaboration between all of us so we can continue to have this fabulous service and move forward with that. So we can talk about that now if we want to figure out a time. Do we want to do a work session for this? To have this conversation? Do we want it to be them meeting with a couple board members and then the board members bringing it back? How do you guys want to proceed? I mean,
I think probably initially I would think we'd utilize our committee that, you know, that we formed to get the low-hanging fruit and then lean on your guys' recommendations or just bring that information back and then have a work session.
Sure.
I think would probably be the most efficient way. That's just one opinion.
But do you guys feel good with that, bringing it to a couple board members, and then we bring it together?
Yeah. Sure. Wasn't your committee that you had as Lily's liaison?
That's what I said, just that committee we already established, right?
So. Yeah. And then we can just continue.
Yeah.
Overall, I just want us to have a respectful working relationship, and to get, we're all, the biggest thing with this number is no matter what, patient care comes first, and I think that's what we're all striving for, and we move forward with that and what that looks like. And I think, like I said, once we can have that meeting and we all have a better understanding, we can just move forward in a more direct manner.
Can I just say, as a new board member, I don't know how the process was specifically handled in the past as far as steps, but I would think this is the step we needed to discuss the budget. And so again, some unanswered questions until we dive into that, but the contact, the number, you know, what's expected on that end, or at least an idea, and then
and
the
once
rationale
we get this
behind
figured
that
out,
we
can move to contract wording, because we can't really change any wording of a contract if we can't come to agreement on the money in terms of
I was going to bring up. So then the contract
we'll move forward as soon as we
get it.
But step one, and that's all I was going to say, was thank you guys for getting us your side and then some rationale and some history on some of these numbers. So,
and I appreciate you saying that. I wasn't privy to whatever you're talking about with the governor and that. So that's interesting, an interesting thing to base this on too, is to compare that what was discussed. So
what very few services have is a hybrid model that allows personnel costs to be drastically lower. Every other model is based on hiring full-time staff to be ambulance attendants at whatever level, and the cost for wages is probably three times what Buffalo EMS is paying. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're efficient and saving means we all win, but we don't want to throw that model out.
Yeah.
For as long as it's working, it's a valuable asset for this community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Call for old business. Is there any other old business?
I just need signatures on this.
Oh,
I think I'm going to do that right now before
we walk
forgotten
out and forget.
If I can interject.
As I'm signing this, the privacy officer thing. Marilyn, you had mentioned you could get any kind of a link.
Yeah, but I didn't.
Okay.
I think.
So we can table that.
Well, are we talking? I was talking about how to get the public records.
So I went to the county clerk today and talked with them, and she's going to follow up with that on what the next steps are for that, if that's through. Yes.
Barry Crago is the Palms Busman for all public records requests for the county.
Okay.
I don't know if the Rural Health Care District falls under that.
Okay. Thank you. I'll contact him.
And the privacy officer was, we talked, if I remember right, we talked about whether it needed to be in the handbook or the bylaws or what. And that, I don't know, because that's
for
the HIPAA.
I'll talk with Barry about that.
Yeah.
Pretty other thing,
yeah.
And I think this is a question actually, Harry. Harry, weren't you previously designated as the officer to receive all public records requests?
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah, but then
and that's through there was
it was a special district.
Yes,
there's a declination you have to make to the
yes.
state of who it is.
Yes, so and you can actually go on the state
yeah.
website
and do
find
it
out.
All there.
Yeah,
so.
And so then when Carrie went off of being the person for the board, then the chairman just filled that out and did that. So
are you technically still on it with the state then?
No, she's
no.
not.
No.
I am.
Oh,
so
yeah.
okay.
I can get you that.
Yeah, it's actually what you guys are asking is outside of the county clerk
mm-hmm.
and Barry because of the Supreme Court.
I'll just get you the link.
Technically,
okay.
He can represent
you,
but he does it as a private citizen at his own expense,
yes.
not in his capacity
okay.
as a county attorney.
Okay.
So you know where the link was to take the special
yeah.
district board training? That's the same. The Wyoming Special District Association.
Okay.
But I'll send you that.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Remind me if you don't get it.
Yes.
Well, I just want to mention, because we've been saying privacy officer, but I don't know if we're confusing the public records officer versus privacy. So with HIPAA, there's a privacy officer, a compliance
mm-hmm.
officer, and a security officer.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, one person is at least two of those. Buffalo EMS, we have three different people, just so that we have checks and balances. And that person's name, who is the privacy officer, has to be listed on your HIPAA form that you pass out to every patient that you treat. So it has to have a name, a phone number, address, and email.
Okay, and then we change that.
Yeah.
And, okay.
So that would need to be designated to
okay.
whoever,
yeah.
I don't know.
Through Casey.
Who you have there.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
For explaining all of this. Okay, moving forward, Crosby.
Yes.
Can you go through your preliminary budget for us?
Alrighty.
I don't have you one. Have
okay. He sent. I sent it to everyone.
He sent. Yeah.
Yeah. I emailed it to everyone.
All right. Big changes for stuff. Education training up by 5,000. Fuel mileage up by 1,500. Just those are big ticket items. The next big change is medical supplies up by 2,500. Payroll and payroll expenses went up. Payroll went up 8,200. Payroll expense obviously went up 2,000 along with that. Telephones, just do some changes to our wireless phone service is why that increase is in there. We haven't had any uniforms in a while with new people coming on. That line item came back with a number. Vehicle repairs and maintenance up by 4,000 because we're way over that line item this year already. Changes going down. Obviously, health insurance went away. That's almost 25,000. That line item. The other lines are a few hundred dollars here and there. One thing I wanted to throw out, legal and accounting has a number in it because that is, we are charged a payroll fee for the direct deposit. that's where it comes out of. I don't know if that will at some point be a district-wide expense. I have no idea. Just as a payroll item, but that it's charged from QuickBooks to us directly. It's just billed to a credit card. That QuickBooks account's about to go away. I don't know where that's going to go, but those numbers are still in there for those things. The other thing, capital outlay, $36,000. Big ticket item there is the power load and the installation of $28,300. So we'll have power load to our other ambulance. Two portable handheld WildLink radios. That would give us two in each rig. Each person in the ambulance needs a WildLink radio. And then our computer is at the end of its life, along with the tablets in our ambulances. So that's the capital outlay. Couple of things that I didn't have numbers on when this went out is all of our Lucas device batteries are at the end of their life. They're about $1,000 a piece. I'm trying to get a price on whether it's cheaper to buy batteries or buy a contract where they actually service them. They haven't been touched since they were new. And then we are down to just a few pagers with new people coming on, but that's a district-wide expense. I just don't know if there's going to be money in that account this year, but I don't know about next year. Looks like that line item's going down. Any big questions on that?
Well, how will this grant for training affect the budget item? That was $7,500 forecast for next year. Are we expecting that those are covered now?
It's per fiscal year, so I'm assuming we don't get it after July. We'd have to reapply for it if we wanted it again.
But would that be...
Yeah, if there was training that cost money, which is why that line item's there, if that grant was in effect, yes.
What do you estimate that grant will do to that $7,500?
Well, it could we could cut that number in half to send people to classes, or we could double the number of classes we could provide. In my mind, if we knew we had a match coming in, I would decrease that line item.
Okay.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for him?
That was pretty reasonable.
Yeah, not specifically.
I guess the only thing I would add to that is this half of the county generates between $275,000 and $300,000 worth of revenue for the district that has for a long time. So we are consistently funding a lot of the district-wide expenses from down here. So we're still under our revenue stream.
Perfect.
Thanks, Crosby.
Thank you.
District preliminary budget.
So that's the colored page. On the revenue side, assuming the same revenue from the previous year at $400,000, interest income was estimated at $5,000 for this fiscal year. It's likely to be over $50,000 with these CD purchases. So that should actually be closer to $50,000. It could be slightly over, depending on the rate. But that sounds good, but inflation takes that and more away. It's an estimate on what the tax revenue will be. We understand it will go up. So this increase from 722 to 800 is a guess. Motor vehicle fees, again, and anticipating revenue from out-of-county transfers will be much lower. $75,000 is about as good a guess as anyone can come up with. From reserves, purchase of a new ambulance estimated at $250,000. And I think we need an appreciation of what the lifespan of an ambulance is, and we've got six in the county that I don't think you can carry an ambulance with 200,000 miles on it, if there's any way around that.
Hey, Brittany, can I ask? Yep. Hey, Crosby, what's the average ambulance mileage you guys are having with your Wyoming regional service?
Right now, there is I think the highest mileage one in our fleet's about 110. They have a couple within the service that are in that 180 range, but they are working very hard to get them gone. They're pretty much maintenance nightmares.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
That's a total revenue stream of $1.684 million, which is skewed by the carrying the reserves in that comes back out on expenses with the purchase of the ambulance. But there are many accounting methods to which I have yet to learn. That's just what we have at the moment.
So, Dr. Schuler, how did you come up with these numbers?
Based on previous budget and then adjustments for changes that occur next year compared to this year.
Okay.
So it's an educated guess with some help from Carrie, who's seen a lot of numbers over the years. And some input from county officials, and that's pretty much the formula.
I mean, it looks pretty good. I mean, I think
we over-budgeted for bookkeeping. That budget had an $80,000 figure, and it's estimated to be $30,000. The capital outlay is combined. That includes the KC budget and equipment for Buffalo ambulances. And the largest item in that is that power lifter that was $28,000. The total then would be $35,000.
So that line there, maybe we should just make, instead of just saying Buffalo capital outlay, do we leave it Buffalo and then add a KC capital outlay?
Or just call it capital outlay. Our collection fees are based on the revenue of Buffalo Ambulance at 10%, which is unchanged. There won't be an election fee. Equipment maintenance agreement is LifePak monitors servicing per year.
That includes KC's. That's all one, isn't it, with KC and Buffalo EMS?
Yes. Insurance costs are estimated to be about the same. That could be a little bit low. We have a lot of other things such as IT services, legal expenses. Out-of-county transfers is another estimate. That is based on what we expect will be the county's share of revenue. Well, let me explain that a different way. Last year, the district paid Buffalo Ambulance $60,000, which was 15% of the total collected for out-of-county transfers. So in this case, estimating there will be $75,000 in revenue, $25,000 of that will go to Buffalo Ambulance, and $50,000 of that will go to the district. And that's if the terms are agreed upon to share the profits after all the expenses are covered.
Okay.
So it's based on what the number of transfers will be and how we decide to negotiate the contract for those services. Medical director doesn't get a raise this year. Radio tower maintenance and agreement is upkeep of the towers for the radio service. Mm-hmm. And then radios and pagers. Now, some of that was included in the KC Capital budget.
Two radios in
right.
KC's budget, and I think I, did you get my email about, with the grant, providing 10 radios, mm-hmm. if you could, KC could have two of those and then take that out of this, out of their budget, or if it's, you must not.
Well, I think we need all 10, but if they need them immediately, maybe they could have two immediately whenever we receive them, and then with that budget purchase, two that would be given back.
I'm just throwing that out there.
That.
I don't.
Yeah. Because it was his. How much did you budget for the? So I don't know when we're going to receive those, but if they
probably
need them,
might be a month or two.
Yeah, if they need them before, we could order more additional ones. That's not a problem.
So the next line is ambulance repairs and maintenance, and this is based on the previous years combined for all six ambulances, and that was close to this figure, slightly under for the current year. And then this also includes reserving funds for future ambulance purchases, and that had previously been $75,000 a year. If we guess that in 10 years, that's the maximum lifespan of an ambulance averaged out, some of these don't get as many miles. That means you're going to be buying six ambulances every 10 years, and that's going to be $1.5 million in today's dollars. So you'd need to be setting aside $150,000 a year just to keep up with those expenses. So
is that what you're saying? So ambulance purchase for $250,000, and then the $100,000
is for the next.
Okay.
That's going forward. We
okay.
should be putting that aside every year,
okay.
and probably a little more than that.
And that's been going on, obviously, looking back.
Okay.
But just not enough.
But we're not going to be adding another $250,000 to the line item if we're putting enough aside. It's going to be there.
Okay.
So with the current KC budget and these district-wide expenses and the estimate of what the Buffalo EMS contract would be subject to negotiation, there's a difference of about $50,000 to the positive from revenues, and that's not counting likely another $20,000 in interest expense. So we actually spend about $70,000 less than we take in on this budget.
I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah, add to. I appreciate your work on that.
So legal. The only thing I would add is that if you're going to start, if there's going to be any building work going forward, then there probably should be a line item in here for that capital project.
To do a reserve line item for that, like we do for the ambulance?
Well, no, like a capital expenditure line, so that if you're going to move forward with that, then some of those costs are going to be incurred in this fiscal year.
So with that one budget, it had 900 and some thousand, but that included...
Well, we would only put in there what our first match would be.
Okay.
And I don't know what all...
My only question is...
that wouldn't have to be all of that, I don't think.
Because the land purchase was included in that. $900,000. That's where I'm just questioning.
That's something we can talk about as we go forward. But I think if the board is going to go forward with the construction project, there needs to be a line item in there for that.
Okay.
Well, you're going to have increased maintenance costs for that building.
Well, that'll be 3 years down the road, though.
However, it'll be every year after that.
Yeah.
So we're assuming that this budget comes in somewhere close to reality and we break even as far as revenues and expenditures, we still have in the bank $1.8 million. And about $417,000 has already been designated for land and building. That's already by board decision been allocated to that.
Okay.
So you've got $1.4
million
that can be used for things like...
But so you're saying we don't need to put a line item in here to show our expense and expenses coming out then?
Well, only if we want to add to our reserves for what they currently are. If you take in and spend the same amount every year, you still have $1.8 million in the bank waiting for you to do something with it. So if you want more than that, you got to start budgeting for that. If you're happy with that's going to be enough for emergencies and putting up this building, we don't need another line item until we're maintaining this property.
Okay. Because I guess I see what you're saying, because if we put something in there, that means our budget goes up that amount. But if we just go ahead, I'm just trying to figure out how we actually track our expenditures when we start having to pay out of that money that we've set aside, because that's going to have to be tracked.
Is there another line item here?
So I guess what I don't know. I'm confused on that.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
I agree with Marilyn that it will need to be tracked, and I think I would ask the accountants what to call the line item, but that they would offset, just like this ambulance purchase. It's here for $250, and the reserves are pulled out of the reserves that are already set aside. So that would give you a line item just to track, but the decision is how much do you want to move. And so it's going to make your overall budget revenue look skewed, and then your expenses look skewed, but they do offset.
Okay.
And so the auditors or the accountants might have an idea how to do that without making it look like it's actual revenue. But like a capital expenditure, because you are going to have...
Yeah.
Immediate within this fiscal year of most likely expenses.
And that also means we don't have 1.8 in reserves if 250,000 becomes a new ambulance. So that that would lessen that total by that amount.
So I guess we can talk to the auditors about that.
Well, the other thing about the budget process is this isn't what gets submitted.
Sure.
No.
There's a state form, and it's carved out in a different way, and it's four pages. So this is what we're used to looking at to have a one-page meeting summary, but it will end up being the same amount of dollars going in and out, but it's going to be in different lines and according to their format that we have to use.
And Teresa has access to that now too, right? Teresa, didn't we do that where we can go in and pull those reports? Remember what we did something.
So
with the state.
That was emailed to us
from
the Topeka County when they that worksheet that was turned in.
I guess so.
I don't have any access to.
I was thinking
create it or
no. Okay, I'll go back and look at that.
That I'm aware of.
Okay. I know we got access to something that we could just pull up ourselves, maybe from the state auditor. I'll go back and look.
Thank you. That was presented in a manner that I could understand.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, I'm at the beginning level.
I think you put a lot of time into it. It's obvious.
I was just going to, you know, I think it's worth noting just when we're, you know, we're looking at, I mean, everything costs and then inflation. And I think we're, I mean, compared to the two contracts, similar percentage increases, 14% on, you know, Casey's proposed budget, 12% on the Buffalo contract. I mean, more work to do, obviously, but I think in this world and what I see on a day-to-day basis of what insurance costs look like, I think that's fair, and I think it's needed to account for a lot of change. So anyways,
and positive thing is according to this budget timeline, we are already sort of ahead because today we were just supposed to present it and we've already sort of had discussion. So hopefully we can, you know, start the ball rolling so we can be maybe ahead of the game a little bit with that. So that's great. Perfect. So with that, while we're doing, I would like us to have a work session where we just talk about budget because it's difficult to do that when we have, you know, our meetings already ran to 2 hours. And so I would like us to look at a work session. I know they're not ideal, but I think we can get a lot of things done. And I think what we can do is Marie and I can meet with Buffalo EMS, hopefully within the next week, to kind of go over all of their budget to have a better idea. And then we can have a work session to discuss that and then discuss both KC District and Buffalo EMS budget. So is there a time, when I did the special district training, we actually only have to let the public know within 8 hours of the schedule, so we... As long as we're within 8 hours of our work session, we're good to go for whenever we decide to plan it.
So are you asking for some dates? Is that what you...
Yeah, I think maybe next week, if anything works next week for anybody.
Do you want to maybe schedule the committee meeting and get that done first, and then maybe you guys are done, you can lob out some dates. But maybe if there's just something that obviously doesn't work for people right now, and I'd say with spring break for schools and people, that first week of April, to maybe, you know, that'd be the week before our next meeting to maybe take that out of the equation, you know, and so maybe shoot for maybe that 20, you know, next Monday or the following 27th, if you guys want to stick to Mondays.
So we'll kind of shoot out a...
Yeah, I think the 27th would probably work for me.
And we'll have to make sure we see what's available for this. What's not available maybe would be best. So obviously we need to do a new building committee, and I don't think we need to establish that now, but I just asked Buffalo EMS to take this back because obviously I want you guys to be a very much a part of this building committee. So if you want to maybe come with us at the next meeting with a couple individuals who are willing to be on it, and then a couple of board members, and then we can move forward with that committee, if that works. Okay.
That work session be at 4?
If 4 works good with everyone. I don't know a date yet, but just, yeah.
Just if this room's available the 27th?
Is it? Okay.
Yes. Should be available, but I'll double check.
Okay.
I could shoot that. I mean, if that tentatively works for everyone, we could have it down, I guess. If you guys think you could meet with Buffalo EMS before.
Yeah. Okay. I'm working night shift that night, but hopefully we're done by 7.
That would be nice.
If not, I will have to jet.
And if that doesn't work, I'll let you know.
Okay. We'll make sure we're done by 7.
Gosh, if we started at 4, I would
yeah.
hope so.
Perfect. So any new business? Any public comment? Yes.
I'm either behind or ahead. I have no idea after this meeting. A year or so ago.
Oh.
Marilyn sent out a little picture, put a committee together.
Are these all the same?
These are all the same.
Okay.
Everybody can hold one. She put out a little thingy bob. I took the liberty of playing with this thingy bob. So put this in your little packet. Apparently you don't need it now. Just an option. My public comment is, yes, I think in my opinion the building is necessary. Where are you putting it right now at this point in time, the land is wrong and you need to readjust that. But if you got questions of that pretty little drawing, let me know. I took the people that helped me print it up and off of there so nobody can get in trouble about it.
Is this also a Cleary building?
No, this is just a drawing. This is not made from Cleary or anything. I took a picture, I took a drawing, I doctored it, and we put it on a piece of computer.
Okay.
That's all this is.
Okay.
It could hold up to 6 ambulances. The doors are in and out. Apparently, there's some people in this world that can't back up. So the drive-through is available.
All three bays
have doors going on both sides, so you can drive straight through if you need to. That was set up as a wash bay on one side or on the back side of all of them, so you can have your own wash system in there.
So it would obviously have to be to where both sides have street access.
Only because of that drawing. But that was the design and the thought in the very beginning, back when Marilyn put this building committee together and
Thanks,
said, you know, play with this, do something.
Yeah.
That's my design. Put it in your
counter.
It looks like I'm on it.
What's this here? When you walk in?
That is an office for either training outside near the ambulance barn. It could be a workshop that is just an open space. There are storage problems when you start managing ambulances, maybe tires, chains, I don't know, other stuff. That's just an open area where you could do anything you wanted, really. Piece of concrete, hopefully heated.
Perfect. Thank you for working on that.
Do you have a hunch what this building would cost?
No. I had nothing to do with trying the price. I did not, because at the time we'd done this, the price was coming up with a simple Cleary building, and I made mine a little bit bigger, holding another ambulance or two, and so I did not price anything. That, I was told, at that point in time was not what we were looking for, just kind of a basic design. And then, can we put it someplace? because you had to have the land. So you could have a building, so you could have a survey, so you could have this. There was a lot of things involved. So I've done nothing except drew a picture of a, in my head, close to ideal system that would last probably 10 years with holding six ambulances.
8,000 square feet. So
80 by 100.
Yeah, that'll be.
Yeah, that's bigger than what we originally looked at.
Thank you for your work on that.
Yeah, thanks, Dana.
Any other public comment? Okay, so we will move into executive session.
Gotta have a motion.
Can we make a motion to move into executive session?
I make that motion.
Can you guys sign this real quick for Teresa?